The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
And this is a dream come true. Two meathead football players to think that one day in their life, they would get to sit in on The Dory Monson Show. Brock, you are Dave Wyman here. You hear us briefly. I get one segment a week. Dave's much better. You get like a whole 40 minutes with Dory?
No,
you do. Every week. You get 40
half hour. 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
No, you get me for like 10 minutes, 8 minutes. He's actually cut my segment down. He's extended Dave's. It's nearly an hour, at least once a week. So you may know the names filling in for Dory, but this is our dream come true to actually get to host the Dory Monson Show on 97.3 FM for 3 hours with Nicole. But right now it's time for The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top trending.
Well, here's what's trending.
Look at you, over the next three hours.
Yeah.
Football meathead.
You like that?
Running the show. Look at you.
I got two objectives today. Don't lose my friendship with Dave Wyman, number one, and don't lose my morning job, number two. Those are the only kind of two objectives.
There's no way you're going to jeopardize our friendship, but you might annoy me.
That's possible.
Because I see how you are right now. You're all jittery fired up. Calm down.
No.
You're one of those guys that's going to give me a high five,
and it's going to
break my hand.
On the FM side, you got to be jittery. You got to go. Don't you see Dory every single day? He's so wired in, ready to go. Curly out of here. I had to carry him out. And the headline right now is we're going to, best we can, balance sports and news for you all over the next 3 hours. The headline right now is Russell Wilson is no longer a Seattle Seahawk. Russell Wilson is going to be a New York Giant. And if you believe Colin Cowherd from Fox Radio, well, there's reasons behind that.
The rumor I'm going to tell you about, I was told this yesterday, this is happening in the entertainment agent world. Everybody will deny it. It's not good to be out now. But Russell Wilson's wife is Sierra. She is a singer and an entertainer.
True.
She would prefer to live in New York.
Yeah, I think so.
And the Giants need a quarterback.
Bad.
And there's nobody in the draft they love. So just remember this. A lot of things add up. Last year of Russell's contract, his wife would prefer New York. Seattle is not an entertainment mecca. Okay? New York needs, the Giants need a star quarterback to replace Eli. You get a lot of pushback on Eli.
So the headline you're going to read, and you maybe have read out there, if you listen to the Dory Monson Show, is, oh my gosh, the Seahawks are going to lose Russell Wilson, Dave, to the New York Football Giants?
You know where he heard that from? Huh. One of two people. One was a straw man that does not exist, and it was brewed up in his little brain.
I don't think so. Colin's pretty good. Number one rated show, number one sports guy in America.
There's no way to check up on that. Who was it? Oh, I can't tell you. It was you.
Number two.
The second person would be Russell's agent.
Mm.
Because, look, if you're trying to negotiate and you're trying to get some leverage here, it's like, Russell, come on, you're not going anywhere, right?
Yeah.
Where are you going to go, Russell? And, you know, look, it's not that I don't appreciate him, but really, do you think, when's the last time you remember a franchise quarterback in, what is this, Russell's seventh, eighth year coming up? When's the last time you remember
Very few, ever. Leave and move on from their franchise that they've led to a Super Bowl.
We were talking about maybe Kirk Cousins because he was with Washington. He was there for a number of years, but he hadn't established what Russell has established. Winning record in each of his seven first seasons in the league.
Here's the only thing I'd like you to consider, and I know you've got a name, in fact, a guy that you played with that you kind of at times may compare or look at as maybe in previous history is a guy that, you know, enjoyed the bigger market, had more envision for him. Here's the only thing I think I would consider, Dave. The only area I think this has a little bit of smoke. I think this is some of Sierra's people.
Yes.
Colin Cowherd's, his show's based out of L.A. Russell's in Sierra. They've got a place down in San Diego and place in Mexico, place up here, place everywhere. They enjoy that scene. Russell enjoys being anywhere and everywhere. Russell enjoys, in fact, you'll see him with the New York Yankees in a couple weeks when he puts on the pinstripes and he's technically a New York Yankee and goes to spring training with him for a week. He loves all of that. And that would be, I guess, the only thing to consider. Is Seattle big enough for Russell Wilson for the next 8 to 10 years of his career?
For Russell Wilson or Sierra? Because, you know, the person that we talked about there that you referenced is Brian Bosworth. He wanted to be in one of the big markets.
Yep.
First of all, L.A., they can't even fill up a stadium down there. And then New York, do you actually have to physically be in New York? I mean, can't Sierra do everything that she does on social media and all that? Does she have? I suppose if she's in New York, she's going to get invited to these galas and she's going to be, you know, more visible. But You ever think about Russell Wilson if he'd have just hired a Molly or a Shannon, you know, like our wives that weren't famous and weren't what he would be like?
Speak for yourself. I think Molly and Shannon more famous than us. He did actually his first
wife. Marry a
right.
He did.
Average female.
Mm-hmm. Was that his rookie year when he got divorced? Or after his rookie
year?
It was
after, maybe his second or into his third year. Yeah.
Anyway, Russell's not going anywhere.
The only thing I would say, Dave, is number one, we're going to learn a lot more of this over the next 6 months, is he is going into the final year of his deal. And guys in his position who have won Super Bowls before don't ever typically play lame duck seasons. They get taken care of before the football season begins. Mm. So this is a curious conversation in the month of February. One, we will learn a lot more if there's actually fire to it, of whether or not he gets a contract extension. The only other thing that I'd consider before we get to story number two is this city big enough? As a guy that loves Derek Jeter, as a guy that loves the big brands, as a guy that loves putting on the pinstripes for the Yankees, as a guy that loves traveling, you know, the world in his offseason, will this market be big enough for what he envisions of himself over the next 10 years?
Yeah, I think, hasn't Seattle ditched that South Alaska?
I think so.
Sort of stigma that has gone along with it. I was just thinking back like how Richard Sherman kind of, at that time when he was talking all that noise and everything, that he kind of put the Seattle on the map and that people liked that because this is kind of an understated town.
Correct.
You know, they don't boo their 2-14 team. They don't boo Santa Claus. They don't throw snowballs there. But they wanted to be on the map, and Richard Sherman kind of put them on the map. And the Seahawks have been, you know, their top-selling jerseys, things like that. So for Russell, it's big enough. I just don't know about Ciara, but look, I –
Ciara, Sierra.
How am I?
Ciara, Sierra.
I don't know these things. She's
hanging out in L.A. anyway. She's not even here that often.
Really?
She's
awesome
a star.
Person. Is she not?
She's really nice nicest... when we met her a bunch.
Yeah.
Is this when Dory does like story number two?
No, that's our number two.
Oh, that's our number two? Oh, it's up next in the big lead.
The big lead, top national.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of televisions. You know, we don't get televisions on the sports side, Dave. Do you realize that?
Yeah.
I think you barked for that for a few years.
I think I do know something about that, Brock. We're a sports station that does not have a television.
You know why? Because we can't focus well enough. So we don't have any televisions in our studios.
Here's what I was told by our fearless leader, is that we don't watch sports. We report on sports.
That's exactly right.
Like, well, I would like to watch it first. I mean, am I supposed to read what other people think, or can I actually watch it myself? But no television in the sports.
But on the news side, look at this. We got all sorts of televisions, and certainly the lead story going right now is about this fella, this Empire star, Jesse Smollett. Jussie Smollett, who is, he's caused quite a stir and gotten himself into a lot of trouble. Miss Nicole, you've got some sound here from the Chicago PD superintendent, a fellow by the name of Eddie Johnson, kind of threw down the hammer this morning.
He did. I liked it. He started by saying that he wished that other crime in Chicago got similar attention.
You know, as I look out into the crowd, I just wish that the families of gun violence in this city got this much attention, because that's who really deserves the amount of attention that we're giving to this particular incident.
He went on to say that, he pretty much confirmed what we've all been hearing through sources, that Jesse did this for furthering his career.
This announcement today recognizes that Empire actor Jussie Smollett took advantage of the pain and anger of racism to promote his career. I'm left hanging my head and asking why. Why would anyone, especially an African-American man, use the symbolism of a noose to make false accusations? How could someone look at the hatred and suffering associated with that symbol and see an opportunity to manipulate that symbol to further his own public profile? How can an individual who's been embraced by the city of Chicago turn around and slap everyone in this city in the face by making these false claims?
And then he said he hopes that there is closure here.
I only hope that the truth about what happened receives the same amount of attention that the hoax did. I'll continue to pray for this troubled young man who resorted to both drastic and illegal tactics to gain attention.
I'll also continue to pray for our city, asking that we can move forward from this and begin to heal.
And I guess I probably should have set up the story, not assuming that everybody knows what's going on with Jussie Smollett, who is a star actor. Empire, you mentioned Shannon, she watches it.
Yep.
And he's a tremendous actor, right? A very accomplished actor and part of the show and a big time part of the show. And he has now been, as I'm looking at the news here, his bail has been set at $100,000. He has been indicted for filing false police reports. And this just wasn't a little act. This was a little that turned big, that turned into gigantic, that turned into more and more and more. And Dave, you know, you're looking at this text toy in front of us here, and you can always text the show here, the Dory Monson Show at 989-973. You can text that in. Any comments you got. You on that text toy, you look at it during our sports shows, and you know there's people on there that'll post stuff, you know, kind of mysteriously or under the cover in the guise of their kind of privacy. They don't know you. I know folks that have burner accounts in the social media world. They create fake accounts. There was a general manager in the NBA for the Sixers that had created all these fake burner accounts, and maybe his wife was involved in it. If you remember that story, he ultimately gets fired. I know good kids that have created fake accounts on Instagram to try to protect themselves from bullying or otherwise, or for devious purposes. Like this, this sadly is not shocking to me. This sadly is the world that we find ourselves in too often. And, you know, you get twisted and you start to go down that path and you go down that road. As Eddie Johnson, the superintendent there at the Chicago Police Department, said, I pray for those guys because he's not right.
I'll tell you what, filing a false report like that, you mentioned the bail set at $100,000. He's got to surrender his passport. What is it? Do you remember, is it the fine, the number of years in jail?
3 years. Up to three years in jail.
Yeah, so very serious. And the worst thing about it is, as Eddie Johnson was saying there, is he cried wolf.
Cybersecurity doesn't.
Whoa, hello.
I just want everybody to know that that wasn't me.
Nope, it was me. My computer's never on. today.
You better be careful what you're surfing over there, Nicole. Okay, you got those burner accounts CNN. All going to come up, yes.
But he's taking the teeth out of real, you know, cries or complaints of racism and homophobia and things like that. So, yeah, this guy, it's pretty despicable.
It is screaming for me. It is screaming for attention. And, Dave, we see this all the time in our sports world. It is all look at me. And those guys that just drive you and I a little bit crazy because it's very different than the era and the generation we grew up in. I mean, there was a few, right, that Boz was beautiful. He was a self-marketer, but he was few and far between. And that's not just the day and age we live in anymore. Yeah. It is a, you know, I remember the last time we did the show, whatever the topics were, it is a look at me. How can I grow me? Is there ever any bad publicity? This guy looks at this situation. That was a little hip hop run. That was terrible. Yeah. This guy looks at a situation and starts down the road like, okay, well, what if I just try this? I'm going to get a little extra attention this way. This wouldn't be too bad, right?
And what he confirmed today is that he did send him the letter. He sent the letter to the police department threatening him. It didn't get enough attention in his mind. And so then he went and orchestrated this whole.
My wife says this all the time. Like when things get a little bit twisted, a twisted mind has to keep doing what? Keep going down that road. And you go a little further and you go a little further. You know, at first, I'm sure the GM or the 76ers like, well, I'll have a little burner account here. I'll just protect myself. I'll have a little burner account, and I'll follow these guys here. They'll never know it. Well, you know what? I'll have a second burner account, and that one is going to take shots at some of these players and some of these other media members. And I'm going to have another. Well, it's not getting enough traction. Well, I better have another burner account. Well, I better do another thing. And you just kind of keep ramping up the stakes, and all of a sudden you look at it and go, oh, my gosh, what in the world am I doing?
Yeah, well, we're kind of transitioning over a little bit to the social media world here. How do you handle it, Brock? Here's my solution. I don't do anything. I'm not on Twitter. I do text people back every once in a while on our show, but other than that, you know, I'm not on Facebook, and there's all kinds of these problems that are popping up, and I'm changing the subject a little bit, but like, you know, you can't, if you invite a certain number of friends out, you can't put that on Facebook, a picture of it, because there are other people that didn't get invited,
sure.
And they might be, I mean, there's all kinds of things to navigate in that world. How do you do it? Because you're on Twitter and Facebook and all
I do Twitter. I don't do Facebook. I try to just guard, but you're right. You want to be transparent in this day and age. Our jobs kind of ask us to, Right. I look at Dory. Dory came to my daughter's basketball game over the weekend, and he's there and he takes a picture with me and one of our other buddies that's in the media and puts it out there and like tweets it. And, you know, because our companies and fans in this audience kind of want to know what's going on. But you better protect yourself. You better be very careful. You better have good sounding boards around you. You better have a Nicole for Dory with the checks and balances like, no, Dory, you will not do that. And we will not talk about that story. Right, Nicole?
Yeah, except for I don't have control of his Twitter because there's some things he posts that I mention later.
I will go back to our first story of the big lead, which was Russell Wilson. Okay, Russell posts stuff that I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Like, you didn't like the profession of his love for his wife?
I did not care for that. No, his greatest love, hashtag greatest love. I did not care for like the half-naked picture with Sierra pregnant like a year and a half ago. I did not, right? I mean, there's some of those things you're just like, what are you doing? Why are you putting that stuff out there?
Well, it's a marketing ploy. Like, I mean, it's all for money.
It is.
And that's what this was for. He wanted a bigger contract. He wanted more money.
And he thought that this would be the best means and methods to go there. That's where, Dave, you asked me earlier, like, how do I do it? Well, you better have a sounding board. Hey, Molly, what do you think of this? Hey, my friends, what do you think of this? You know, hey, coworker, what do you think of it? No, don't be doing that.
Yeah.
Did this guy have anybody in his life where he's like, hey, what do you think here, agent? Should I create this little fake thing here? No. Actually, no.
But actually, his two friends went along with it because of money again. So it's really sad. It's a sad story. And I hope he gets helped. But then I also hope that he has to pay for it, man.
Well, and I kind of like the response here of Eddie Johnson, not the former Sonic sharpshooter. Eddie Johnson, the superintendent of the Chicago Police Department. This is how you handle it. If you're that Chicago PD, you love that sound, Nicole. Like, that's the first thing you said to Dave and I when we came in this afternoon. We're like, this is some great sound.
Well, he railed on him.
Well, this is how you handle it. Don't beat around the bush.
Well, and he said he was in a city that embraced him for his, you know, being black and being gay. And he was embraced. And then he went out and made them look bad.
All just for his career. Yeah, I almost feel sorry for people. And I mean, I'm glad I grew up in the era that I did, because I don't feel compelled to do any of those kinds of things, get on Twitter and make outrageous comments and things like that. So it's difficult to navigate. But man, this should have been pretty obvious. And again, he's the little boy that cried wolf. I mean, it just takes the teeth out of every other claim of either racism or homophobia, like I said. So yeah, this guy's in huge trouble, and I guess he's going to end up being a cautionary tale.
Oh, you want me to reset right now?
No, I was going to say we could tease ahead. We're going to get out of here.
Oh, no, we can reset. This is the Dory Monson show. I can't wait to do like hour two, hour three. Like, I'm going to kill that since I've already screwed that up earlier.
Oh, look how we balance that. Sports, news.
I think that's what we're going to try to do all day. And Dave, you said
something. Coming up next.
You said something kind of scary to me earlier. You said if you saw someone that went down the road. This story we're going to have next. We're going to have Dyer Oxley in next. He's writing an amazing story at My Northwest. You said if you saw somebody that went down this road, and we're seeing this like all over the place, you would do what?
Back well, on? I don't like being startled. And sometimes, you know, like if you were in a dark hallway and you turned around and there was a guy who had no whites in his eyes, I might punch him. I might think he's a zombie.
That's Dave Wyman, Brock Heward filling in for Dory Monson right here on 97.3 Cairo FM. That story right around the corner.
Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. Dave Wyman and Brock Heward. 425 says, I love you guys, but where's Dory? We blindfolded him and gagged him, and he's in the back of Brock's truck. That's where Dory is.
That's funny. I like the 360. Oh, my. Oh, my. What handsome mugs on the studio camera today.
Not used to. I tried to honor Dory in that wear mostly slip-on things, because Dory's just entirely given up. I know we're on radio, for God's sake. At least have something with a zipper or a button. Everything is slip-on for Dory these days. We have Dyer Oxley from MyNorthwest.com, and the story, Dyer, is that people are tattooing the whites of their eyes, and 17 state legislators are sponsoring this bill that would ban tattooing the whites of your eyes. Now, I'm a good libertarian. Milton Friedman would say that it's a fair exchange. Government doesn't need to get involved. But the government sees their way. First, I want to ask you this, Dyer. What What kind of, explain to us this tattooing of the whites of the eyes. Are they doing designs? Are they doing colors? What's it look like?
So this is called scleral tattooing. And this is not the cornea, which is the part that actually takes in the light. But this is the white part of your eye. It's a fibrous material that is between kind of like a layer of fluid and your eye. So sciencey stuff aside, there is a somewhat of a trend nationally to take a liquid with a syringe and inject that into that part of your eye, and then you get interesting colors and things like that.
Does it last for the rest of your life like a tattoo?
As far as I know, it does, but most of the stories you will find on this are horror stories. So some cases people have to remove the eyeball if it goes horribly wrong. Other cases they're just chronic pain in their eye, big surprise, for a while after they actually get this injected into their eyeball.
Yeah.
Yeah. And every year, you know, when these kind of legislation, when the session gets in, you get all these lists. Reporters get all these lists of bills that are trying to pass. And this one just kind of stood out enough that – and it was just odd enough for me to actually contact the bill's sponsor. One of them, Steve Theringer out from the Olympic Peninsula, who basically told me this.
So the optometrists and the ophthalmologists came, through their government affairs person came to me. In some ways, it seems like it could be kind of humorous, but it's actually a pretty serious thing because this is such a delicate, membrane that it's very easy to do damage to your eye. And it's just too risky. They think, the professionals think it's too risky. And so that's the concern.
Two things. The fact that it's humorous, somebody thinks that. That's number one. And number two, that it would be a revelation to someone that it might be painful to jab yourself in the eye with a needle.
Right, right. Well, that's the thing that kind of answers your question, is this came from the industry of folks saying, we're doctors, something needs to be done about it. I also talked to a tattoo artist, however, and he says, you know what, I've only heard about this in prisons. This is not something that comes around in my scene. It's not within my sphere at all.
But there's 17 legislators who have jumped on this?
Yeah. This is mainly coming through the Health and Wellness Committee in the House. Mm-hmm. So when you get a number of legislators like that, they're most likely on that committee. So it's come through that, and they're pushing it through.
So can I just kind of ask, stepping back, is this the place of government? If these folks want to tattoo their own eyeballs...
I guess if it's putting some kind of burden or cost on the government, and I'm not sure if you're on maybe Medicaid or something like that, is that putting a burden of cost back on, maybe that's where you need to step in? I don't know.
Do you want to hear Representative Theringer's answers to that exact question?
That's exactly what I want to hear.
Okay.
What is the long-term cost to us as a society if someone – and maybe a less than rational state decides to go through this procedure, and then they're blind for the rest of their life? There are costs to everybody, including the individual who might, make this rash decision to inject a fluid into their glera and end up damaging their eyesight.
So kind of like pot dealers and pot smokers before, well, I'll use a different drug because that's legal now. So meth or whatever. What would be the penalties, do we think, for not only, well, the person that gets it done? I feel like, you know what? You suffered from a really stupid decision, so you're okay. You're not going to have to serve time or anything. But I wonder what's going to be, the repercussions for people that give out eye tattoos.
Well, according to the bill, it's probably just going to be a fine. You do it, you get fined, slapped on the wrist. That's usually how these things go. You ban. You're not allowed to offer it, and then you're also not allowed to do it.
Yeah.
You feel smarter after studying this?
After this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is the highlight of my day. Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about 9 minutes with us.
I was going to say, he doesn't always get invited on
Not 9 minutes with us. Studying, like, this is legitimately taking time, concern, consideration in our state legislature. You're legitimate. It's a cool story. It's a great story. It's hilarious.
The joke I made earlier was like, yeah, and next I'm going to move on to the bill banning skydiving with your dog. Like, things like that that go into that territory. But, it has prevented me from sleeping last night when I actually looked up and Googled what this stuff can do. Yeah. There are some horror stories out there. But asking this representative, he was not even aware of any numbers or how this has even affected our region. He just knows that it's enough of a concern from professionals that they felt, okay, well, we'll push this through.
Is there not enough healthy byproduct at times where you're like, man, yeah, I was really stuck on stupid? Like, that's on you. That's a choice you made. You were the one that thought it'd be cool to stick a needle into your own eye and dye it some crazy colors. That's on you. And for the rest of society to maybe learn a lesson like, yeah, don't do that.
You know, I got my I had eye surgery one time where I had a floating eye that went up and it just used to drive me nuts.
I remember that.
I didn't realize this, but, you know, until I got to Denver, because there's a stripe down the middle of the helmets there. Yes. And there wasn't here. My head was always tilted. And people would imitate me all the time. Like, they would look, oh, hey, Wyman, how's it going? Cause put their head on a tilt. So that's how I could see. Because when I looked to my right, my left eye would go way up into my skull. It was creepy.
So you're just telling us we need to wait till technology is more advanced before we inject things into our eyes?
I had, you know, stuff injected into my eyes because I was getting surgery. But by the way, one time I looked over at Rufus Porter one time, and that eye went up, and he was like, whoa, what the hell is that? And I was like, it was like embarrassing for me. I would always have to turn my head and look at people. So I went and got this surgery, and they, you know, readjust the muscles on your eyeball. And see, you see now when I look to my right, Brock, it looks okay, right?
It looks fantastic.
Yeah. So, but my eyes were all bloodshot, and my kids were 2 and 4 then, and it just freaked them out. And that's the thing, you know, when I look at some of these pictures, like you said, Dyer, I mean, you have nightmares. There's some of them are little designs, but how do they do that without, I mean, that's got to be really painful, right?
How do you do it in prison, of all things?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Where are they getting the needles? And you've got to have some kind of, because I think they put this numbing fluid on your eyeballs that, you know, is like anesthetic or whatever. So, you know, that, and then there's the ones that, like, they're dark and they're all filled in. But I just remember when I had that surgery, I looked like the devil. And my kids were freaked out if I ever had, you know, and it lasted for like 10 days.
I think that's their goal, though.
Yeah.
So what are we going to learn from this, Dyer? What's next? Is it going to pass in legislation? Is going to be the top of the agenda items?
You know, I think if there was a bill that is an easy pass-through, I mean, who's going to, okay, sure, ban, you know, things injecting into your eye. I talked to a tattoo artist, James Hillary, out at the Seattle Tattoo Emporium here in town. And he is worried about this stuff affecting the tattoo industry. But like he said, he's not really seen this in his sphere.
Well, thank you, Dyer. You can read that at mynorthwest.com.
Yes.
That story is up right now. But coming up next, we've played some kind of, I don't know, unique sounds, some unique stories. I like this one. I like this next one. My Brother's Keeper, big seminar, big summit they had. Some superstars there. And this is right up, well, our alley. Wyman and I. Dave Wyman, Brock Eward, filling in for Dory Monson here at 97.3 Cairo FM with some sound next you don't want to miss. Dory Monson Show here on 97.3 Cairo FM. You can always text the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. Many of you are already doing so. Dave and I reading them during the break and enjoying those.
So be nice.
Somebody knows way too much about how to tattoo an eyeball in prison. Way too much.
We got much better pleasant stories after that. We're not going to gross anybody out.
I can't take the eyeball thing anymore. You know, I mentioned that. Like, if you came around the corner, and I don't like being startled.
You don't like being startled.
Yeah, like, here's what I'm afraid of that, like, the other day, I actually, like, grabbed my wife.
Uh-oh.
And I just, because she came around, and it was really quiet, and then she just came, and I turned around, and she was right there, and my first thing was to, like, put my hands out, like, to protect myself.
Right.
I didn't hurt her or anything, but, like, I can't not. So if I come around the corner, and there's some guy with blacked-out eyes.
It's not working for you.
I think I might have to headbutt him.
Yeah, well, I like this sound a whole lot better, and so did you, Dave. This comes from My Brother's Keeper Summit. This is a big summit they had. Steph Curry, the Golden State Warriors. It's actually Barack Obama, and good for you, Barack Obama, to come out and, you know, I think make a statement. I'm sure he's getting blowback from some, certainly in the rap and the hip-hop community, but Barack Obama was talking about toxic masculinity. Bunch of cuts that you and I, Dave, listened to before the show began, wanted to react to. This from the My Brother's Keeper Summit. Here's former president.
A lot of the violence and pain that we suffer in our communities arises out of young men who nobody's said to them what it means to be respected. And so they're looking around, and I guess being respected means I might shoot you, or I can make you back down, or I can disrespect you and there's nothing you can do about it. And that is a self-defeating model for being a man. So we have to constantly lift up examples of successful men who don't take that approach.
Yeah, and he went on further. I think that's about masculinity in particular. But, you know, Nicole, he went on further and really, in some ways, targeted some of the hip-hop rap community, some of the messaging they're pouring into young men.
Let's face it, a lot of hip-hop and rap music is built around me showing how I got more money than you, I can disrespect you, and you can't do nothing about it. I'm going to talk about you and punk you. And ironically, that actually shows the vulnerability that you feel.
You know what I think we're missing, Dave? I think the last time we were on, you know what I think we're missing in America is masculinity, period. I don't have to label any of that. What is masculinity? What is being a good dad? What's being a good husband? What is being a good family and having a together family and helping lead a family? I think we are missing, I don't even have to put an adjective on it. I think we are missing masculinity, period, end of story in this society.
Okay, so you're talking about in a different way, but this is the hyper-masculinity, right? This is, it's an overcompensation. Let me ask you this, Brock. When I came into camp, the guys that talked the most and acted the most brash and outwardly, I was like, that guy is not going to make this team because, you know, he is compensating for something. And, you know, just being quiet, and you're talking about quiet, confident masculinity of being a good man, being a good husband, being a good father, being a good citizen.
Just everything today has got to be so labeled. It's just got to be so defined and so label on everything. And I don't know if we have to talk about toxic masculinity. Just give me masculinity. Just give me men that are willing to lead their home. Give me men that are willing to be dads and husbands and good fathers and good husbands and willing to do that. That I think is what society's missing. There's a couple more from the president continuing to talk about, you know, the role. And this again comes from my brother's keeper, a big summit that he and some NBA players, a lot of powerful figures were at, really trying to pour into some of the young men of today.
If you are really confident about your financial situation, you probably are not going to be wearing an 8-pound chain around your neck. Because you know, oh, I got bank. I don't have to show you how much I got. I feel good. If you are very confident about your sexuality, you don't have to have 8 women around you twerking.
I like that Barack Obama kind of sounds like a get off my yard type of old man. But
yes.
I love his message there and the way he puts it, just because he's always been, you know, so well spoken and to hear him say twerking.
Yeah. And I bet he's going to get blowback.
Yeah. I'm with you, Brock, on the labeling part of it, too. It's just gone too far. We're just way out of whack. And, you know, like my wife and I, do you ever talk about role-playing or I'm a man and you're, I mean, it never comes up, ever.
Oh, Shannon doesn't say to you, Dave, your toxic masculinity right now is killing me.
Yeah, I mean, look, she carried the water for about 7 or 8 years for us when she had her business going, and I did all of the things that, you know, a lot of moms do, but it didn't matter. It doesn't matter what's what. So yeah, that part of it too, I think is gotten a little out of control. It's gone a little bit too far, you know, one way and the other. You know, it's like, oh, we have to be careful about labeling and saying these things. And, you know, you have to watch what you say and make sure you don't offend anybody. And then you got this hyper masculinity going on the other side. But I love the points that Barack Obama's making there.
You know what else I love? I love the start of spring training. We got spring training going on. The first Mariners baseball game. And one of the greatest commentators ever with some sound you don't want to miss next.